Good evening. If you would please take out your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. That's where we're going to begin our study this evening. Matthew chapter 6. I'd like to start this evening by thanking Dan for that wonderful song leading that he gave us this evening. He did a wonderful job with that. I'd also like to thank the elders who are giving me the opportunity to speak to you all tonight and giving me the opportunity to enjoy this wonderful and special week here in Temple Terrace, Florida. And I want to thank all of you. Thank you for making me feel so welcome. It really has been a warm family feel since I've been here. And I appreciate all of you for that. My family, me, Leah, and Ellison, all look forward to being with you all, not just as visitors, but permanently as part of the family here. Thank you so much for making that possible for us. We look forward to what lies ahead. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, the Bible says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I want to ask you a simple question this evening. It's going to be the basis of our study. The question I want to ask you is this: what do you treasure? What do you treasure? See, the picture that Jesus paints here in these verses is an interesting picture. This is the picture he paints for us. He says, you and I both, every single one of us have two treasure chests. We have one on earth and we have one in heaven. And every single day, every choice I make, I'm deciding which one of those treasure chests I want to fill up. He says you can spend your life collecting the things that are valuable on this earth, or you can spend your life collecting the things that are valuable in heaven. What do you treasure? The things that are valuable here, or the things that are valuable there? You know, the treasures of earth really are different than the treasures of heaven. The things we value here aren't the same as the valuable things there. For instance, if I were to take this $100 bill, you know that this has value on this earth. This is worth something here. It means something here. You can do something with this. You can buy things and you can do things, all kinds of things with this $100. In fact, we all know it's valuable. Whenever we see something like this, there's something inside of our heart, something whether big or small, that wants to reach out and take it, that wants it for ourselves because it is valuable. It means something. It's worth something. But if I were to take this $100 to heaven, well, it's absolutely worthless up there, isn't it? Can't do anything with it there. Yet on the other side of that, if I were to take this $100 to downtown Tampa and find a homeless man living on the street, and I were to give it to him, that act wouldn't do anything for me on this earth. It would be a worthless act on this earth. It wouldn't add anything to my earthly treasure stash, would it? In fact, it would take away from me. But those kinds of acts, those acts of generosity, are something that Jesus would call treasure in heaven. See, it's not valuable here, but it's valuable up there. That's the exact same idea, that Jesus references when he's speaking to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 in verse 21. Mark 10 and verse 21, it says, "Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, 'One thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven.'" You see, you can do things with your life that are valuable here, or you can do things with your life that add value there. You can spend your life getting rich on earth. You can spend your life getting rich in heaven. What do you treasure? What are you collecting? What are you spending your life accumulating as you live your life here on this earth? And that's a vital question that we have to ask ourselves. We need to know the answer to that question because of what Jesus says in verse 21 of Matthew 6, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The location of my treasure foretells the destiny of my heart. I'm going to spend eternity in the place where I've been saving up, where I've been storing up all of my treasure. Those in this life, brothers and sisters, who truly are heaven-bound are the ones who are living their lives trying to get as rich as they possibly can in the life that is to come. So, what do you treasure? That's a question that we have to consider. A question we have to think through. And what I want to do tonight is I want to help equip you to answer that question honestly. You see, it's not an easy question. It's not a question that I can answer in 5 seconds. It's a question that takes a lot of thought, a question that takes a lot of examination. It's a question about which I can easily deceive myself. It's very easy to tell myself, of course I'm storing up treasures in heaven. Of course the things of heaven are more valuable to me than the things on earth. Of course that's true, when in reality my actions tell a different story. I'm going to give you 5 questions this evening. 5 questions that will help reveal what we truly treasure. 5 questions, and then the lesson will be yours. Question number one, you need to ask yourself this. What do you work for? What do you work for? Of course, when I ask that, I'm not asking about your occupation. I'm not asking who employs you. I'm talking about hard work. I'm talking about labor. We're talking about blood, sweat, and tears. What do you exert yourself for? What do you work for? And I'll tell you why that question's important. It's because we work for the things that are valuable to us. Without a doubt, it's undeniable. If something is valuable to us, if we treasure something, we will work hard. We will exert ourselves to get it. Back in November, I ran a race in Charlotte, North Carolina. And during that race, I saw something that I don't know if I'll ever be able to forget. It was at the beginning of the race, and there were a mass of runners ahead of me. That didn't change as the race went on. And there were a mass of runners ahead of me, and as I looked ahead, I looked at all those runners, I noticed that they were flowing around something like a river flows around a rock. And as I got closer, as I ran further, I realized what they were flowing around. And I was right next to it. There was a man on crutches with his legs hanging limp and useless beneath him, who is taking every single step of the race, carrying all his weight on his arms. And after 13.1 miles and 3.5 hours, that man crossed the finish line. It was an amazing thing to see. Somebody who could carry his whole body on his arms. I can't imagine what kind of work went into that. What kind of blood, sweat, and tears he poured into that. And I don't know what compelled that man to get out on a chilly November morning in North Carolina and do what he did. But I'll tell you this much, just based on the effort he put forward, you know one thing. And there is something about crossing that finish line that was valuable to him. We do not work that hard unless we're working for something that's valuable to us. You only give that blood, sweat, and tears for something that truly is treasure to you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, if you want to know what you treasure, consider what you work for. Consider what you work for. And you'll find out what you treasure. We learn that from Jesus in John chapter 6 as well. In John chapter 6, Jesus teaches us that. Shortly after he had fed the 5,000 in John chapter 5, we read that he was followed by a multitude around the Sea of Galilee. And that's an amazing thing. many people, a multitude of people, walked miles so that they could be with Jesus, so that they could be in his presence. Yet when they finally got to him, this is what Jesus said to them in John 6 in verse 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. These people weren't interested in being with Jesus to hear the words of eternal life. They were interested in filling their bellies. That becomes abundantly clear when Jesus teaches a hard lesson. And in John 6 and verse 66, we learn that many turned around and walked with him no more. We work for the things that we treasure. We work for the things that are valuable to us. What do you work for? What do you exert yourself to obtain in this world? Do you exhaust yourself, work countless hours, work late into the night to make sure that you can make as much money as possible, to make sure that you can ascend in the company as high as possible? Do you work hard for that? Or do you exert yourself to make sure that your family is as spiritually strong as they possibly could be? College students here at school right now, what are you working for? Many of you would say, I'm working hard, making sure I get good grades, making sure my teachers all like me, and making sure I finish school on time so I can go out and I can get a good career and I can advance in the world, okay? That's good, but are you also working at the same time just as hard, even harder than that, to make sure that you're growing up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? What do you work for? Do you sweat and strive to make sure you have a nice body? Spend hours chiseling your physique in the gym, crafting the perfect diet? Are you willing to say no to all the tasty treats and wonderful things you could eat that taste really good in this world to make sure that you have a nice looking body? Or is your greater effort, your greater concern poured into resisting sin and getting that out of your life, making sure you have a good looking soul? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4 tells us that we are supposed to strive against sin to the point of shedding blood. What do you work for? What do you exert yourself for? What's worth your blood, your sweat, and your tears? Consider what it is that gets your greatest efforts day by day, and you'll very quickly see what you truly treasure. Now, I'm going to say this now, and I'm probably going to say it again, but I think it's important. I need to make sure I say this, that there is a balance to life, and that's okay. There are some things in this life that we're going to work really hard for, and that's fine. That's expected. That's okay, okay? But at the same time, we need to be willing to look at ourselves, dig deep inside of ourselves, and ask ourselves, what am I really working hardest for? To get rich here or to get rich there? What do you work for? Question number two, ask yourself this question. What do you talk about? What do you speak about? And here's why I ask, because it's undeniable as well that if I truly value something, I'm going to talk about it. We talk about the things that we value, don't we? If something truly is treasure to me, if I really do find value in it, I will talk about it. In fact, sometimes you'll notice that we'll make fools of ourselves. If you come up to me and you start a conversation about something that I really, really treasure, if I treasure it enough, I'll make a fool of myself because I just can't stop talking about it. Look, don't come and talk to me about Ellis unless you got 30 minutes and you want to know everything about her. I can't shut up about her because she's treasure to me. She's precious to me. We talk about the things that we treasure. We can see that in the Gospels too. It's actually really cool when you look into the Gospels and you read the stories about how men reacted whenever they were healed by Jesus. And you can read about these people who've been lame and blind and paralyzed and mute and demon-possessed. You read about how they react to that. They run throughout the city with this kind of joyful exuberance, telling everybody what's happened to them. Even when Jesus tells them to keep their mouths shut, they won't. They tell everybody. And they do that because they treasure what Jesus gave to them. They treasure their health. We talk about the things that are valuable to us. Jesus told the Pharisees in Mark chapter 12 and verse 34 that the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Our words give us away. They show us what's inside. They show us who we are. And yes, they show us what we treasure. Therefore, consider what dominates your speech, and you'll quickly see what you treasure. What do you love to talk about? What can you hardly keep silent about? What gets you really excited? What do you want to tell everybody about? Maybe the better question is, what kind of treasure do you have that your boss knows about? What kind of treasure do you have that your barista has to hear you talk about every single day when you get your morning cup of coffee? Do they hear about the victories of your political party? Or do they hear about the wonderful works of your church family? What do they hear about? What do you talk about? Do they hear about what I saw on TV or what's happening in my favorite Netflix show or whatever movie I saw this weekend? Or do they hear about what I read in my Bible and what I learned about the Word of God this week? Do they have to listen to me go on and on and on about all the stuff that I just bought? Or do they have to listen to me gush about the relationship that I have with my Father in heaven and how excited I am to see Him face to face one day? What do you talk about? As I said before, there's a balance to life. I know that. And we're going to talk in this world about the things that we treasure, about earthly things that we treasure. You're going to hear about my coffee maker at some point, and there's no doubt you're going to hear about my dog at some point. It's just going to happen. Get over it. We're going to talk Aggie football, Kentucky basketball, and Houston baseball. It's going to happen. But be honest with yourself and ask yourself, what kind of treasure do I have that I just can hardly keep silent about? The treasure I have in heaven or the treasure I have here on earth? Consider what you talk about and you'll begin to see what you treasure. Question number three, ask yourself this question. What do you protect? That's something else that we do with our treasure. We protect our treasures. We guard them. We do everything in our power to preserve them. We protect our homes with locks and security systems and security cameras. We install Ring doorbells. We buy all kinds of things to protect our homes. We buy bats and we buy guns. And of course, we buy the most effective security system ever, German Shepherds. I told you you're going to hear about my dog. We do all kinds of things to protect what we treasure. For the same reason we leave our retirement nest egg in the bank rather than in a bag on our front porch. For the same reason we buy Volvos, and for the same reason we never, ever, 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 ever under any circumstances even think about taking the car out of park until the baby is completely strapped in the car seat. We do whatever it takes to protect the things that we value. In fact, the greater the treasure, the greater the protection we give to it. Therefore, consider what you protect, and you'll see what you treasure most. Our earthly treasures need protection because they can be stolen, because they can be taken, because they can be damaged, because they can be ruined, because they can be diminished in some way. But we need to appreciate that the spiritual treasures that we have, the treasures we have in heaven, the same thing can happen to them. They can be ruined and damaged and diminished and taken away, stolen. They require protection as well. Your purity needs protection. Your purity needs protection. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the writer would say, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. We need to watch over the purity of our heart. We need to make sure it's protected. We need to make sure that bad influences don't get in, that bad friends and bad entertainment and things like pornography don't get in and corrupt my heart. My heart needs protection. I need to make sure that it stays pure. And when my heart stays pure, I'm laying up treasure in heaven. But I'm only going to do that. My heart's only going to stay pure if I make sure I go out of my way to protect it. In addition to that, we learn in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12 that we are to be devoted to prayer. Brothers and sisters, your prayer life needs protecting. You need to make sure that nothing gets in the way of your prayers, that no distraction, that nothing in this life keeps you from getting on your knees and bowing and praying to God. You need to make sure that your prayers are deep and constant and meaningful. We need to be devoted to prayer. Do you protect your prayer life? Go out of your way to make sure that nothing gets in the way. There are all kinds of spiritual treasures that we could talk about in all kinds of different ways that we need to make sure we go about protecting them. But the question is simple, isn't it? Do you protect these spiritual treasures with as much vigor, with as much diligence, as you protect your earthly treasures? Do you make sure that the purity of your heart is safe and secure every single night, just as much as you make sure that your house is safe and secure, all the doors are locked, all the windows are closed, every single night? Consider what you protect, and you'll definitely see what you treasure. Question number four. What makes you feel secure? That's something that treasure does for us. It makes us feel safe. The more we have, the safer we feel. You see that especially on the financial side of life. The larger the bank balance, the safer we feel. Isn't this true? But if that bank balance takes a hit, that number starts to drop for whatever reason, I go to the emergency room or I have a car accident, something bad happens, my car breaks down, and that number takes a hit, I start to fret, I start to worry, I start to feel a little bit less safe, don't I? I love Dave Ramsey. And so don't think anything I'm about to say is a slam against the work that he does. But have you ever noticed what the name of his money-saving workshop is? Financial Peace University. It's another testament to the fact that the more treasure we have, the safer we feel, the more peace we feel. And that isn't limited to finances, honestly. It goes beyond that. Back in Texas, we recently had a wonderful man, former deacon of the church, former police officer, pass away. His name was Doug. He was a great guy. When they went over to his house to start taking care of his belongings, start divvying it out to everybody that it was supposed to go to, they came across hundreds of guns and tens of thousands of rounds of ammunition. We store up the things that make us feel safe, don't we? Therefore, consider what makes you feel safe, and you'll see what you treasure. It's okay that physical things, physical treasures give us a degree of safety. That's okay. That's understandable. But the question you honestly have to ask yourself is, what makes me feel more safe? What makes me feel more secure? A mass of earthly treasures, or a bunch of treasure up in heaven? What makes you feel more safe? More money in the bank, or more good works accomplished before the God of heaven? Paul would write to Timothy in in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17 and say, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. What makes you feel more safe, more money in the bank, or more good works that God has seen you do? What makes you feel more safe, less miles on your car or less sin in your life? What makes you feel more safe, more ammo in your basement, or more prayers offered to God? I know that question applies in Texas, but I think it applies in Florida too. What makes you feel more safe, treasure on earth or treasure in heaven? I'm reminded of the saints that Peter wrote to in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. When Peter wrote this, he was writing to a bunch of saints who were suffering an intense persecution, who were in danger every hour of losing all kinds of things, being hurt in all sorts of different ways. But he says about them in 1 Peter 1 and verse 6 that they are able to greatly rejoice. That in spite of all this persecution, they're able to be happy. They're able to have joy. And he tells us in verse 5 why they're able to have that joy, even though they're in danger every hour. Verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. They're in danger every hour. At any moment, they could be persecuted. They could be put to death, but they rejoice because they feel safe, because they have treasure in heaven. Because they know that the more persecution they face and the more persecution they endure, the richer and richer and richer they are in the life that is to come. What makes you feel safe? Treasures in heaven or treasures on earth? Consider which one, and you'll quickly see what you treasure. Question number five. What gets cut? When push comes to shove in your life, which treasure do you choose? The treasures of earth or the treasures of heaven? You know, brothers and sisters, you never cut out what you treasure. It's always the thing you value less that gets sacrificed when push comes to shove. You see that in moments like the birth of your first child. If you're away from your wife as a husband and you get that call from your wife, wherever you are, you get that call from your wife that says, the baby's coming now. Everything gets dropped. I don't care if you're out of town. I don't care if you're at work. I don't care where you are. You fly home, you drive home, you break all the traffic laws. You go straight to the hospital so you can be there when your baby is born. Everything gets cut so you can be there. Why? Because you treasure that moment. You treasure that moment when you're going to meet your baby face to face for the first time. It's always the thing that's less valuable that gets cut. Therefore, brothers and sisters, consider what gets cut when push comes to shove, and you'll quickly see what you treasure. Jesus would tell us later in Matthew chapter 6, that those moments would come in our life where we had to decide, where push would come to shove, where we can't have both, where we have to pick one or the other. You store up treasure on earth or you store up treasure in heaven. Pick one. He said those moments would come. Matthew 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Those moments are going to present themselves day by day when I have to choose between storing up treasure in heaven or storing up treasure on earth. And something's going to get cut. Sometimes a brother or sister is going to be in need. They're going to need a lift. They're going to need a hug. They're going to need some word of encouragement, and they're going to need it at just the wrong time. I just spent 4 hours doing nothing. I'm about to go do something fun, and then somebody needs my help. In those moments, something's going to get cut. What gets cut? Sometimes I'm going to have a temptation. I'm going to have a temptation in my life and I have to choose. I have to choose between this passing pleasure of sin, this passing pleasure which is the treasure on earth, or keeping my purity, keeping my integrity, and storing up treasure in heaven. And in those moments where I have to choose, I'm going to have to choose. Something's going to get cut. Something's going to get sacrificed. When that temptation comes, what gets cut? Sometimes I have sin in my life that I need to confess, sin that nobody knows about, completely secret. And in those moments, something's going to get cut. I can choose to keep the sin inside and store up treasures on earth. I can keep my reputation if nobody knows about my sin. I don't have to deal with shame or embarrassment or anybody looking at me funny, anyone thinking less of me if I keep silent about my sin. Yet at the same time, if I keep silent about it, I'm losing treasure in heaven because that sin is just eating me alive on the inside. Or I can choose to go to my brothers and sisters and confess my sin, ask them for help. That's going to make my life a little bit more uncomfortable. It's going to cause some more drama. People are going to know. I'm going to feel embarrassed. I'm going to feel some shame. My reputation's going to take a hit. But at the same time, when I lose that treasure on earth, I'm gaining treasure in heaven because it's going to save my soul from that sin. And in those moments, something's going to get cut. If you want to know, brothers and sisters, what you truly treasure, consider what gets cut when push comes to shove. What do you treasure? Of course, the main point that Jesus is making in all of these verses is that there's really only one treasure that's valuable. The treasures that we have on this earth may seem valuable, but they really aren't. They really aren't worth anything. They really aren't worth anything. At the end of time, there's only going to be one kind of treasure that stands the test. When it comes to all these treasures that we have in the world, whatever they may be, whatever the moths don't eat, the rust will destroy. Whatever the rust can't destroy, the thieves will break in and steal. And whatever the thieves leave behind will be melted with an intense heat on the last day, leaving us with only one kind of treasure that means anything, that's worth anything. And that'll be the treasure that we stored up in heaven. What do you treasure? The treasures of this earth, or the only treasures that are going to last? Maybe you need some help tonight. Maybe you need to make a decision. Maybe you need to come forward and confess some sin. Get that sin out of your life so that you can store up treasure in heaven. Or maybe you realize that you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You've never become a child of God. But you know that you need to make that decision right now. You need to put off the old self. You need to stop living for the treasures of this world and start serving Jesus so you can store up treasure in heaven. If we can help you in any way, store up the only kind of treasure that really matters. Please cut out whatever's in the way. Come to the front. We'll help you while we stand and while we sing.